disease, but a recent study now suggests they might be capable of transmitting an antibiotic-resistant infection called MRSA. Bedbugs have become much more resistant to pesticides, and that makes the infestations much harder to control. I'm Linda Kenyon, NPR News in Washington.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include Made In Cookware. Made In Cookware is crafted by chefs for chefs and designed for restaurants and home kitchens around the world. Their cookware can be found at madeincookware.com. This is NPR.
Here we are again. Welcome to The Conversation on WVIK. It's a weekly celebration of local radio the way it's meant to be brewed. This week, my guest is Dave Heller from the Quad Cities River Bandits. I'm Kai Swanson. I hope you'll stick around for this week's conversation. We're talking baseball and so much more. Well, Dave Heller, I have to sometimes wonder, do my listeners get a little bit, you know, frustrated when I turn into total fanboy mode? I mean, I've got some guests I just love chatting with because they have such an interesting perspective. Dave Heller, thanks for being on The Conversation.
It's my pleasure. Welcome. It's great to see you.
It's always great to see you, too. And it's great to see you during baseball season because the River Bandits are on fire.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah.
It's wonderful. We're in first place, and that's the view from the top is really pretty nice.
Yeah, I can only imagine. But, the great thing is, as a grandpa, right, and a dad, and I love going to the game no matter what happens because I know the people I'm with are going to be made to feel so special and have a great time. I want the Bandits to win.
Yeah, we all do.
But if they don't, I'm not as crushed because I've had so much fun with the kids.
Well, I appreciate that. Look, I tell my staff all the time, we can't control what goes on the field, right? So it really, if our fans leave knowing the score, we haven't done our job, right? Because it's about so much more.
Yeah,
it's about the in-between innings experience. It's about the food experience. It's about the amusement rides. It's about a chance for people from all parts of this great community, you know, two states, dozens of towns, where we all come together as one and where we can hang out together.
Yeah.
And it's great.
Well, before we get too much into baseball, I got to do the old biography stuff. And one of the things that always is, I think, wonderful is the way you greet people who are coming into Modern Woodman Field and make everybody feel like a VIP. I think that's got to be at least partially due to your upbringing. Where did you grow up? Because it probably wasn't in some place where you didn't deal with a lot of different people, because I see you deal with everybody.
Well, listen, first I would respectfully take issue with the premise of the question, right?
Okay. All right.
I don't know that I have grown up.
There you go. Right?
I'm still a big kid.
You got it.
and I think that's really been part of the secret to why we've had so much fun. Right. I just enjoy it.
Yeah. But you grew up out east, right?
Again.
Doesn't matter.
I lived out east when I was a kid.
When you were a kid.
Yeah, how's that?
Not grew up. Your early years.
My early years. That's right. Okay. Yes.
Well, and part of that, too, is, in my higher ed circles, I work with a lot of people at great institutions on the East Coast, on the West Coast, all over the place. And they're the ones who always point out that, you know, you guys in the Midwest are so different from us, right? But you have a very Midwestern aura about you. And I mean that it is as a very high compliment.
Yeah. Well, so look, I was born in Cleveland.
Oh, okay. All right.
Right?
There you go.
And when my parents met, they were rival fabric spiers for the two main department stores in Cleveland. And so they were competitors, right? Yeah. They had this kind of surreptitious relationship. It was really kind of exciting.
Beautiful.
Yeah. And so I was brought up in a Midwestern house with Midwestern values, and I married a girl from Michigan, and we consciously decided we wanted to be in the Midwest.
Yeah.
And we looked at, when I was looking to buy a team, we looked at four or five teams in the Midwest, and we chose Quad Cities. Like, we affirmatively wanted to be here.
Yeah. Well, we're going to get to that in a minute. You know, I married a Cleveland gal.
Okay.
Yeah, Jenny grew up in Aurora. All right.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. She worked at Geauga Lakes and SeaWorld and all that kind
Look
of stuff.
Look at you.
But you also, though, I'm just delaying because it's such a fascinating story for me. Before you got into the baseball game, you're an Ivy Leaguer.
Yeah.
Right? So what did you study as an undergrad? And it was Brown, right?
It was Brown.
What did you study as an undergrad?
So I triple majored at Brown.
Of course you did.
I did political science, I did American civilization, and I did American history.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. They're just, so intertwined.
And I loved it. Look, I love to read, right? It's one of my favorite things is to just sit down in my rocking chair at home and just read a good history book.
Yeah.
Or a good political book. I love that.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Well, so I studied history at Augustana, but the funny thing was I kind of stumbled into American history through the back door.
Okay.
We had a great department, still do, a fantastic department. But I was very much in the orbit of a guy who, his focus was on East Asian history, but he begrudgingly taught Russian history too. So, I mean, he's a great teacher. So that's where I started. And then it wasn't until like my senior year that I got around to taking the one that everyone takes at the beginning, which is like U.S. history, 1898 to the present or something like that.
Right.
And then I really started to get into it.
Yeah.
And then I discovered Shelby Foote.
There you go. You're into the Civil War in a big way.
Just a good writer.
Yeah, he is a good writer.
Such a good writer.
Yes.
I always laugh about, I saw an interview with him once. And are you familiar with what his writing style was? I don't think he's with us any longer, but I think he passed away.
I mean, I've read him.
Well, but I mean, his technique, I should say, not style. So he would get up in the morning and he would write with a quill pen in an inkwell.
Holy cow.
So that he had to think about every word he was putting together. If you think about it, sentence structure, it's complex.
Well, for a guy who wrote 1,000-page books.
And then he would have lunch and have several glasses of bourbon.
Holy cow.
And he might nod off for a little bit. And then in the evening, he would go back at a Royal Manual typewriter, and then he would transcribe what he had written in the morning. Right. But it was that two-step process of thinking about it very deliberately, you know, having to dip a quill.
Yeah.
And then going back after a couple of refreshments and then adding that flair to it. I just always thought that was so cool.
Yeah. Well, that's the sort of, you know, that's the sort of old world craftsmanship that private equity is trying to put out of business these days. Right.
Yeah. And I understand I don't follow that kind of news too closely, but there's still a lot of churn in that. People are in some markets turning away from all that. But anyway, I don't follow that. So that's out of my league.
All right.
That's out of my league.
Right.
So, you know, and I'm glad you mentioned that about you and your spouse, and she's being a Michigander. My mother was a Michigander.
Yeah.
Because I was, honest to goodness, Dave, this week I was talking to a dear friend of mine, and they asked, well, who's on your show this week? I said, well, I got Dave Heller to come back on the show. And the question was, you know, how in the heck did we get Dave Heller in the Quad Cities? So I'm going to put it right. You started to answer the question, but how in the heck did we get the Heller family here in the Quad Cities?
So I got into minor league baseball because I had a big idea, right? The reason anybody gets into anything, like I had a big idea. And my big idea was I wanted to take the two things that I loved most as a kid, right, which is baseball and amusement parks, and I wanted to kind of mash them up together. And I had this idea of what if you could build an amusement park within a ballpark? Never been done. Like nobody had ever done anything like it. Hmm. And so I was looking, my wife and I were looking at teams that were for sale, and we actually looked really hard at a AA team in Erie, Pennsylvania. And my grandmother is from Ashtabula. Okay. Erie is, you know, half an hour or so up the road. Mm-hmm. And right on the lake, really pretty, and especially in the summertime, cold in the winter. But mm-hmm. And so we were really interested in that. And then I discovered that they have an amusement park in Erie. And I said, well, that's that. I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
Right? I want a place where there's no amusement park anywhere near there. And again, we looked at, like I say, four or five places, and I saw modern. My wife is not here, so I'm going to tell you the story. Okay, right? Okay, she doesn't like
I won't
it.
Tell. I won't
yeah,
tell.
It's just you and me, and you know, a few friends. Yeah, yeah, right. Yeah. It took me 3.5 years to marry my wife. It took me about 3.5 minutes to marry Modern Woodman Park. Like I just saw those saw those views and just fell in love. It was just you know, well, just the most beautiful views.
Oh, yeah.
And then you do research and you find out the nearest amusement park is Adventureland, which is, you know, at least 2.5 hours if you drive like I do, 2.5 hours away, a little more for most people.
Yeah, yeah.
And to the west, or you drive 3 hours east to the pier,
mm-hmm.
or 3.5 to Gurnee,
right.
or 4.25 down to Busch Gardens to St. Louis. Yeah. And look, I have two boys, as you know, Kai, and I love my kids like religion. I love my kids. I am just absolutely riveted by my children. All that said, the idea of spending 6 hours in the car one day with my boys to, you know, take them to an amusement park, be with them in the amusement park all day, and then drive home at night. Like, no. I'm not doing that. Yeah. So the idea that we could create a little miniature amusement park right here in Davenport, that was really exciting to me.
Yeah. And I got to tell you, I mean, I'm so grateful to hear you say that you fell in love with it as you found it, because I'm of the generation, we grew up with the Quad City Angels.
Right.
And it was a private little ownership group that just basically loved baseball and selling beer.
You know?
So you never paid to get in. You they always had stacks at the grocery store you'd pick up, and your parents might have to pay, but you know, you'd get in there.
Mm-hmm.
And just the great times at the ballpark when, I mean, we turned it into our own amusement park. I'm sure the ushers really didn't like that. But just wonderful memories of watching baseball and not even registering how beautiful it was to look beyond the outfield and see the river, a barge going by or something like that, lights over in Rock Island. And, you know, I was very fortunate that I came from a long line of baseball fans. So when I was a kid, I got to go to Wrigley a few times, the old Comiskey, even Dodger Stadium once.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew, yeah, these are very special temples. But we got something special right here in River City. And then you just amplified it. So that's what I think is so much fun.
Yeah, it's a fabulous, fabulous park. And to see it get the notoriety that it deserves, you know, with 3 times in a row, the best minor league ballpark in America by USA Today, that's really nice.
Yeah, yeah. And 3 times I've had occasion only once since you've been the owner to bring people from out from Europe who are making their first visit to the States to a game.
Isn't that great?
It has been. And it's, I tell you, it's hard to explain baseball in German. But what was so cool is, and this is just kudos to your staff, because you have built an excellent culture there. We got some pretty good seats. We were watching this game and really enjoying it. And one of the ushers doing their job was kind of overhearing this weird sort of bilingual conversation explaining Streich und Arena, Heimat, all this kind of stuff. And there was a foul tip, and it went into the, I mean, just sort of dribbled along. And that fella brought it to one of my guests.
Oh,
so
wow.
That guy's got a forever souvenir of American baseball, thanks to the River Bandits.
See, and I love that, because I tell my staff all the time, we are not in the baseball business.
Hmm.
We're not. We're not in the entertainment business. We are in the memory-making business.
Yeah.
And when we can make a memory for somebody, especially a young child, that's when I feel like we've really done something with our day. You know, we've really accomplished something.
Oh, yeah.
And we can put our heads on the pillow at night and feel really good about ourselves.
There was, I have to tell you, one time I brought some Germans, and you guys do great special deals and wonderful things like that. I love it when I can feed a whole bunch of grandkids hot dogs and, you know, barely make a dent.
Right.
But you're having a special with a certain, I'm not going to name it, a certain kind of domestic beer.
Yes.
And let's just say that qualitatively, it's a little bit different than what they have in Hamburg.
Yes, fair enough.
And they all were just fascinated. Oh, so this is what America
You could get a Keystone Light for $1. You could get a Busch Light for $2. Yeah, sure.
And so I said, guys, I will get you like a craft-made American beer because the river bands offer that too.
Yeah.
And no, this is great.
Yeah, you can pay, you know, $6-7 for a Heineken if you want. Like we got everything.
No, I know. And it was just like you said, it's the memory business. It's a lot of fun. Okay, so we get you here.
Yes.
We reel you in.
Yes.
And your baseball enterprises have grown.
Yeah.
You've got a wonderful team in the Wilmington Blue Rocks in Delaware, and I've been to their stadium thanks to you.
Yes.
It's great. No Modern Woodman. I mean, but it's a great family, fun thing to do. And now you've expanded. Now you're coast to coast. You're in Modesto?
In Modesto, California, and Billings, Montana.
And Billings.
Yes.
Wow. So how do you spread yourself so thin?
Yeah, very dumbly. yeah, four teams in four time zones, right? Just not really conducive to a lifestyle where you spend time with your family very much.
Oh. I know you do.
It's great. I mean, they're great communities, each one of them, and we enjoy it. And the neat thing also is they're all playing really well.
So
Billings and Modesto are both in the Pioneer League, which is an MLB partner league, and we have two divisions in that league. We have a Mountain States division and a California division. And the winner of the first half of the season in each division plays the winner of the second half of the season in each division.
Yeah.
And then the winners of those series play each other for the title, right? So my team in Billings won the first half.
Uh-huh.
So we're in the playoffs. Yep. The Modesto team going into last night, was 26-1. You can imagine, 26-1.
So they've sewn up the second half.
They've pretty much sewn up the second half. So the Modesto team will play Long Beach for the California championship, and Billings will play whoever wins the Mountain States second half. And if they both win, it'll be an all Dave Heller finals, and that's really exciting. Like, that's never happened.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, that's never happened in any league anywhere.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm a sucker for minor league baseball team names.
Yes.
Mascots. So I know that Wilmington Blue Rocks, which, I mean, I have a heart of a geologist. Yeah, I love
there
that.
You go.
That's a very peculiar stone.
Yes.
Geological phenomenon that happens right there, right?
Yes.
And it stays blue for like 3 or 4 minutes before it oxidizes.
Right? Correct. That's exactly right.
So you never really get to see the Blue Rocks. But what's Modesto and what's Billings?
Modesto is we are called the Modesto Roadsters.
Love it.
And the reason is Modesto is, I would argue, probably the greatest car culture city in the country, right? So Modesto is the home of George Lucas. That's where he grew up.
Yeah.
And way before Star Wars, his first big hit movie was American Graffiti.
With Harrison Ford.
Right.
Right.
And that was about his life growing up in Modesto.
Wow.
And so Modesto has something called Graffiti Weekend. Where guys, if you ever have a chance, anybody's listening, go to Modesto, California, the second weekend in June enjoy Graffiti Weekend. They have a parade. Get this, Kai, 2,000 cars, right? A 2,000 car parade. That's like a 3-4 hour parade. Exactly. That's a long parade.
At least.
And every car has to be 1975 and earlier.
And I'm sure they're all souped up and beautiful.
And they're gorgeous.
Oh,
and you see all these, you know, Cadillacs with the fins and the whale tails and sports cars. It's wonderful. And I had the chance this year. I was the grand marshal in the parade.
Way to go.
And it was really just one of the most special things I've ever done. It's a great, great town. That is a fun town.
Well, you know what I'm really enjoying about this? Because I think, you know, I get to sit on the board at Visit Quad Cities. I've seen you. And this is how you talk to other people about the Quad Cities.
Oh, for sure.
You are one of the greatest magnets for the Quad Cities, so I don't mind listening to you gush about Modesto one bit.
Yeah,
because I know when you're out there, you're telling them about us.
I evangelize about the Quad Cities. I do.
But Billings.
So yeah, Billings, the team is called the Billings Mustangs.
Okay.
And it really, that team, get this, the Billings Mustangs, the opposite of Modesto, right? The Modesto Roadsters are a brand new team that I started this year.
Mm-hmm.
The Billings Mustangs started in 1948.
Wow.
And they were started by two guys that you have heard of.
Okay.
All right? Bing Crosby.
Of course.
Right? Bing Crosby and one of his best friends who's from Billings, a guy named Bob Cobb.
Wow.
And Bob Cobb, it was such a prominent force in Billings.
Yeah.
They named the field Cobb Field.
Of course.
Which is the second thing that was named after Bob Cobb.
You're not going to tell me.
The Cobb salad.
Oh my gosh.
That's where it comes from. Oh. Bob Cobb had a restaurant in LA.
Yeah. And that's how those guys got to know each other.
They're exactly right.
What a great story.
Yeah.
God, I love stories like
that. And so the Billings Mustangs go back to 1948, and they have all this wonderful history.
Yeah.
I bought the team in 2014. We won the title that year.
Great.
And we haven't won since, yeah. And I'm hoping that this year, you know, could be the year, although it'd be really exciting for Modesto to win, too.
Of course. Oh, I'm really pulling for you, Dave. I mean, I'm Thank a River you. Bandits guy, but now I'll start cheering for the Roadsters and the Mustangs
yeah.
and seeing them playing in a game. That's fantastic.
Right? And, of course, the River Bandits, no slouch. We're in first place, too.
Right? And so hopefully bound for the playoffs.
Yes.
Right? Right?
Yeah.
And hopefully maybe a championship, which would be great.
You know, we were the first team in Midwest League history to win four championships in 10 seasons
right.
here. Never been done before.
Yes.
And we did it between 2011 and 2021. And we did it with three different major league affiliates, which is crazy.
So that just adds the complexity. And we're going to get to this in a little more depth, but just to kind of set the stage, that you don't have 100% control over your roster when you're aligned with a major league team.
You have 0% control of your roster. You don't have 100, you have 0.
You can disappear your hottest pitcher.
Of course.
They can bring you an exciting young talent that you hadn't seen before, but they've got to immediately mix into the chemistry, you know?
That's right.
But not just the players, but three different franchises. So yeah. I know we got a great relationship right now with the Kansas City Royals. I don't remember who the other ones were because this one's so good.
Yeah, they were the best. Royals are the best.
Yeah.
We were in 2011 a St. Louis Cardinals affiliate.
Okay, Cards, got it. Okay.
And then we won in 13 and 15 with the Houston Astros.
That's right. It was the Astros.
Right? Gotcha. And I mean, some of the Astros players you think about who's come through here.
Yep.
Carlos Correa, Alex Bregman, Yordan Alvarez, all three of those guys. Jeremy Peña.
Yeah.
But the first three, Correa, Bregman, Alvarez, each of them is on a trajectory that if they were to stay healthy, they could each end up in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, fantastic.
Right?
Well,
and that's what I look. That's what I really love. We the first time we had our affiliate go to the World Series, the Cardinals, they had 10 players. Who
That's
were
right.
in on the team. And
a lot of
no
us
stars.
Had seen a play. And we're going to get into that history in just a minute.
Yeah.
But right now, it's that time we're going to take just a quick break. You're listening to The Conversation on WVIK. My guest is Dave Heller. Please stay tuned.
IK, Quad Cities NPR, comes from the Habitat Restore Health and Home, offering new and gently used home health items, such as walkers, wheelchairs, and hospital beds. All items are sanitized and inspected for safety. More information at habitatqc.org. And support for WVIK also comes from Source Bookstore, offering thousands of used and out-of-print books in all genres, music and movies. Open 7 days a week at 232 West 3rd Street in Davenport, serving the Quad Cities for 86 years. That's Source Bookstore. And support for WVIK comes from the Regional Development Authority, distributing funds from the Rhythm City Casino Resort to help make the Quad Cities a more vibrant and inclusive community. Learn more at rdauthority.org.
And my guest this week, Dave Heller with the Quad Cities River Bandits. Welcome back to The Conversation. I'm grateful to have you here. We were just talking about the Cardinals, and those were some heady years, too. I remember seeing some folks on the banks of the Mississippi that I got to see a couple of years later further downstream.
For sure. Look, I love that we won a championship with the Cardinals. I love that when the Cardinals made it to the World Series in 11, they had 10 former River Bandits on their roster, right? Which is great. But what I really, really love is when we have stars here.
Yeah.
Stars. And to have guys like Correa and Bregman and Alvarez and Pena and McCullers, like those guys are stars. And for kids to have gotten a picture with them or an autographed ball or an autographed bat, man, that means the world to me. And now the Royals sending us stars, right? The Royals, year before last, 2 years ago, they took the Yankees deep into the division series.
Mm-hmm.
In the American League playoffs, and the starting first baseman, Vinny Pasquantino, former River Bandit. Starting second baseman, Michael Massey, former River Bandit. Starting third baseman, all-star Michael Garcia, former River Bandit. And now you've got Jack Caglione up there. He had a game-winning RBI last night. Carter Jensen is there. He's doing well. I love to see these kids move up from Quad Cities and go and start and star in Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
And what's really exciting, Kai, is this year's team, and like I told you, we're in first place. We've got some kids, five that I could tell you right off the top of my head, who are going to be big-time stars in Kansas City in a couple, 3 years. Kendry Churio, 18 years old and threw a no-hitter last month.
My goodness.
18!
Yeah.
Right? I didn't know which way was up when I was 18. This kid's throwing no hitters.
Well, let's shift gears a little bit. And speaking of our younger years, not growing up, I won't make that mistake again. But part of your story, which I find very, very captivating, is that you got to do a lot of work kind of in the political arena in helping people whose positions, causes, stances aligned with your own to get some public notice and to get some traction underway. And do you still do any of that, or is it total baseball?
No. I still do that. I basically have two full-time jobs.
I'm glad you pointed out four teams, four time zones.
Yeah.
It's pretty extraordinary. What is your take on, if you were to levitate, say about 15, 20,000 feet above the United States at 250, and you look down, based on your study of political science, American civilization, American history, what's your commentary on how we're doing right now and where we might be headed? You know, simple question.
Yeah, right. I'm a proud Democrat, man, and it feels to me like we are really heading in the wrong direction. Like our country is heading in the wrong direction. I do not understand what we're doing in the Middle East. And why we're doing it. All I know is that war is driving up prices here at home.
Mm-hmm.
And inflation is a real thing.
Mm-hmm.
And we see it. I see it as a guy who owns four small businesses.
Yeah.
Right? We see it and we feel it. And that's that's really a challenge. And the tariffs that Trump has imposed have been a challenge, and they've been really hard. They've been hard on the whole country, but they've been especially hard on our farmers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so I hope we change direction.
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah. So I made some reference to this. A very dear friend of mine from back in the day here in Rock Island, a guy named John Shulman, is working on a book. I hope he gets it published, but he shared a little bit of it with me. And he's had a career as a political consultant and advising campaigns and things like that.
Okay.
And he understands that it's the nature of mass communications, right?
All right.
And the media milieu that we live in, that sort of, it exacerbates the many of the problems, right? It mm-hmm. widens divides. It, sure. it makes people less likely yeah. to talk to each other.
Yeah.
And so he's coming up with, and again, I hope he publishes this book, with a prescription for what we as individual voters can do. And I won't get to all of them, but
okay.
one of the ones he talks about, just for you and me, is mm-hmm. Jane and Joe Voter, right? He says, don't let them get you angry. But I mean, that's like become such a key part of our political discourse, not just now. I mean, it's been brewing for decades. But how do we as individual Americans keep ourselves from getting angry and staying open to discourse and civility and all this kind of stuff?
So civility is something that I think is so important, and we are losing it, right? But I'm not sure I agree with John. I'm not sure I agree with the premise there. There are things that are going on that should make you angry.
Right, right,
right. Right. And if we become numb to that, if we become so accepting of grift, so accepting of corruption that we say, well, everybody does it, we're just going to look the other way, then we really are letting them win and ruin our country.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Whether you're Democrat or Republican, for example, it should be against the law for Congress to trade stock.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? They have too much inside information. And there are people, there are examples, Republicans and Democrats, who have gone into office poor and left extraordinarily wealthy.
Yeah.
And that is, in my mind, a big bowl of wrong.
Right. Right.
I mean, it just shouldn't exist that way. I mean,
the chief executive now $2 billion richer than when he took office. Right?
Yeah, that's...
I get you on that, but what I would give as a little bit of a... The reason I find it appealing is not so much in between parties, but within parties, because mm-hmm. we're in a primary season right
yes.
now. And I am losing patience with... it doesn't matter which party. There's an element in the party who wants you angry at the rest of that party. You can say the same
sure.
thing about the extremists of the Republican Party and the extremists who align generally with Democrats. They want you angry at the people who are trying to work a solution.
Yes.
And fight graft and fight, you know, the microcosm I have is Rock Island County, right? And to look at that as a member of the majority party in that particular geography and say, look, we can't afford to be given jobs to our kids and nephews, you know, if we're an elected official. We can't afford to be making sweetheart deals with people we know and circumventing things, right? It may not be $2 billion worth of graft, but it still doesn't smell right.
No, that's right.
And then
to
get lambasted from a wing of my own party saying, well, no, just get angry at this guy because he's taking away our sweet deals, you know? So I feel it from that perspective.
Look, what happens is, The far left and the far right make it impossible to do any kind of real legislating, because legislating means working together and crossing the aisle. And the best example in the country is, of course, immigration,
mm-hmm.
where you have Senator Lankford, a very, very conservative Republican from Oklahoma, who put together a bipartisan immigration bill last year in yep. the United States, and 2 years ago in the United States Senate, and had the support to pass it. And immigration, we will never, ever solve our immigration problems with one party.
Right.
Right? You have to have both parties come together. And look, for me personally on immigration, I think that Biden and his open door policy is ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Agreed.
It's ridiculous. But Trump's broken window policy, where we're just going to see somebody driving a car and we're going to punch out the window and rip them out of the car.
Right, right.
You know, when they're just trying to live their lives and they're already here.
Sure.
That's crazy too.
Sure. Well, to your point, that legislation got the kibosh put on it by the presidential candidate
Correct.
Of Lankford's party, who
Correct.
Said, no, we need this to get worse and worse and worse. And that's, I think, the
Wait,
kind
we
of,
want to keep you angry.
Exactly. That's the kind of angry I'm
yeah.
worried about. Right?
So that, like, we have to be a country that lives in the middle.
Yeah.
Because that's where most of the people live. That's where I live. That's where you live. And that's where most Quad Cityans live.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm proud to live in the middle. I love the big middle. You know what? To the Democrats who say you should kneel when you're saying the Pledge of Allegiance or saluting the flag, no, I think you're wrong. I think you're a bunch of idiots, right? And to the Republicans who say that we should be able to attack police officers at January 6th, no, I think you're wrong. You should never be able to attack a police officer.
Exactly. Well, I will say that for me, it's easy. Because I love to sing, and I'm usually off key.
Okay.
So my get in trouble that whenever I hear the national anthem, I want to sing. And at the Quad City Symphony Orchestra, I can do that. But a lot of times, it's my wife just looks at me and says, shut up.
Yeah, you could do it at a River Bandits game,
I
too.
I do when I'm at the River Bandits game. Anyway, my guest is Dave Heller. We're going to be back into this conversation in just a minute, but the story's getting good. And a best storyteller I know happens to be a fella named Dr. Roald Tweet. And it's time for this week's episode of Rock Island Lines on your public radio station, WVIK.
This is Roald Tweet on Rock Island. Take out a pencil and a piece of paper. Great pine from the northern woods floated past Brownsville in the very last raft to come down the Mississippi. Charlie Brown, Brownsville's founder, was on that last raft. The Mississippi turned to other business which did not include us. First, from memory now, put in the location of all the telephone poles and the road signs. Good. Now draw in your house and then all the houses along the three blocks. Still good. Then put in the location of trees, shrubs, and hedges and identify their species. Fill in some details about the houses, their siding, number of windows, the size of garages. Identify each by the names of the owners. Finally, put an X on the highest spot of land on the three blocks and an O on the lowest. Go outside and correct your quiz. Are you feeling good because you only missed two oaks, a gate, and one hedge? Sorry, you flunked. You just washed out of steamboat pilot training. Tom Burns was a 19th century steamboat pilot on the upper Mississippi. He was better than most. His crew claimed he knew every treetop along the river. But any steamboat pilot before the coming of charts, buoys, lights, radar, shortwave, and locks and dams to guide our modern towboats had to know all 729 miles of river from St. Louis to St. Paul better than you know the three blocks on your piece of paper. Besides, your street is straight, with dependable right and left lanes. And you only drew the surface of your street. Pilots had to know the river beneath the surface, too, following an unmarked channel that crossed back and forth from one shore to the other. And unlike your street, the Mississippi is moving, its channel changing constantly, forming new islands, raising or lowering its surface, altering texture and color from day to night and season to season. I realize you can probably do things Tom Burns couldn't do, perhaps hum one tune and whistle another at the same time, but until you are prepared to act less like a tourist coasting through life and pay more attention to the world around you, I wouldn't turn left instead of right someday on the way home, just to see what's there.
Rock Island Lines with Roald Tweet is underwritten by Augustana College, Rock Island, Illinois.
And we get to hear it each and every week because folks like you support WVIK, which makes it possible to have a platform. And I got to tell you, friends, I got to level with you. Today's episode is coming to you from the newsroom in WVIK studios because our two primary broadcast studios are currently offline. It's a reminder that you got to, you know, equipment wears out and that kind of thing. If you've been sort of sitting on the fence about that next contribution or becoming a member of WVIK, well, here's one voice who says head over to WVIK. WIK.org. Hit that beautiful red donate button up in the right-hand corner, and you can help us get back fully on the air so that I don't have to make my guests like the wonderful Dave Heller, who's here this morning from the Quad Cities River Bandits, cramped here in the newsroom. It's it's not quite as nice as the mood lighting isn't quite the same as in the main control
studio. Listen, it's just great to be with you wherever we are. We could be in a cave. I'd be having fun with you.
I have a ball with you, and I love the fact that, as you mentioned earlier, you are a great reader, and I love to hear what you're reading, and we're going to get to that in a minute. But a book that I think is going on my list, I just read a review of it. It's called 80,000 Hours by a writer named Benjamin Todd. And the title comes from the fact that if you work 40 hours a week for 40 years and even take a couple weeks off every year for vacation, you're going to hit 80,000 hours, right? And so the book is about how do you make your working life, because that's just a reality for, you know, 99.9% of us. We're going to work, right? Enjoyable. And I'm always impressed by you, Dave, is that even when you're dealing with challenges, and I've been privy to see you deal with some challenges, there is a joie de vivre with you that I don't see everywhere else. So what are some of your secrets where even on the bad days, you can keep the joy going?
I love what I do.
Yeah.
And I surround myself with people that I love being with. Julia McNeil is a great leader of this team here in Quad Cities. You know, I joke that my job is to shoot off rockets and her job is to catch them.
I love that.
And
I've had bosses like
that. Yeah. And, you know, look, if it were up to me, I'd be like, hey, why don't we just feed mayonnaise right to live tuna fish? Like, we'll cut out the middleman. We'll make millions.
I know that reference.
Yeah.
Michael Keaton.
That's exactly right. Nicely done. Right? But, you know, she keeps me grounded, and that's wonderful, too. I do. I love what I do, and I love that I get to do it here in the Quad Cities with the best people anywhere in the country.
Yeah.
I mean, I really believe that.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the elements of this book, according to the review, is he's urging younger people. And I've got kids who are at the beginnings of their careers or getting closer to the middle, but still beginning phases. And it's hard. I mean, you want to have all that satisfaction when you're 28 or 32, and Lord knows I did too. And just trying to help them understand that, you know, it's okay. It's okay if it takes a little while, right? And this author even points out that Colonel Sanders didn't found Kentucky Fried Chicken until he was 62 years old.
That's right.
It's going to take a while. But you get to work with a lot of people at the beginning stages of their career. Do you ever find ways to encourage them to, you know, it's the persistence and the patience and it pays off?
Yeah. You know, I actually do it differently. This is what I, like, my son is leaving for college next week.
Wow.
And this is what I tell him. Don't worry about your career. Don't worry about your life. Like, you're 18, you're 23, you're 25. Enjoy your life. Date a lot, right? Go out, travel, have fun. Because when you hit, you know, when you hit 30, right, you start having real responsibilities.
Yeah.
Right? You gotta be somewhere, you gotta do something, you gotta pay a mortgage, you gotta feed a family, you've got commitments.
Yeah.
Obligations and responsibilities. And the best advice that I could give young people is don't rush to have those things. They'll come, they'll be there.
Mm-hmm.
Enjoy your life.
Yeah.
Meet a bunch of people.
Yeah.
You know, I have many friends who married their high school sweetheart, and God bless them for it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not the advice I would give anybody.
Hmm.
I'd tell them, go out and date people. Go out and, you know, party. Go out and live. Go out and enjoy yourself. Go out and travel. See the world. See the country. Do the things that you can't do later in life. And enjoy every bit of it.
Mm-hmm.
And in the process, you will figure out who you are, right? You will take a crash course in yourself. And as you come to know yourself and really figure out what you love and what brings you joy and what you enjoy doing, that's how you determine your path.
And let me add, go ahead and skin your knee.
Oh, for sure.
And, you know, we got to lead an alumni trip over to Sweden. And when you're in Scandinavia, playgrounds look very differently than
yes, they do. Yeah.
There are rough edges all around. Look. And people are, the kids may get a scraped up knee. And because they're not falling onto a soft, cushiony, you know, surface.
And that's totally okay.
But except for the fact that we could never have that here. We're too litigious, you know, we're way too litigious. But there is something to be said for failing and failing up, ideally.
Yeah. Right? Well, you mentioned I went to Brown.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things I loved at Brown was you could take any course you wanted, pass, fail.
Really?
And the thinking behind it was, we want you to experiment. We want you to do things that you haven't done. I took art history when I was at Brown.
Hmm.
Like, I just wanted to learn about art history. It's not anything I wanted to pursue in a career. It's not anything I knew anything about. I was never a big art guy. But I took that art history course, and I enjoyed it.
Hmm. Hmm.
And that you could do it without it impacting your GPA, without it impacting your ability to go to B school or law school or wherever you wanted to go when you left college, mm-hmm. or you know, get a job with a top five firm in whatever field you wanted to go into. That's a wonderful luxury,
mm-hmm.
and it helped kindle a love of art for me, and that culminated recently with me donating a very expensive painting to the Figge.
I saw that, and thank you for doing that. I was going to say, in your workplace today is steps away from one of the finest art museums you'll ever get.
It really is.
I love the fact we just had a nice episode about it, but thinking of your workplace,
yes.
Before we run out of time, I'm just so impressed with all the cool things that you and the River Bandits do. So tonight, the weather gods willing, we get to see you beat the Tin Caps from Fort Wayne, but there's always fun things going on, and I think you've got a tomorrow.
Well, hold on.
Sunday?
Before you get to tomorrow,
tonight,
Saturday night, is Red, White, and Boom.
Okay, that's right.
Right?
That's right.
So for people who might not have heard, Red, White, and Boom, of course, was canceled on July 3rd. They rescheduled it for tonight, August 15, and it's going to be a great fireworks show.
Yeah.
And because of the rain we've had this week, we're going to play a doubleheader tonight. So the first game is going to be at 4:30.
Right.
The fireworks start at 9:30. There is no better place in the Quad Cities
to watch those fireworks
absolutely. Than Modern Woodman Park.
Here, here. And, absolutely.
And so we'll have all the rides going. We will have plenty of food and drink.
Imagine being on your Ferris wheel and watching the fireworks.
That's exactly right. We'll have hot dogs and cold beer, and the best vantage point of the best view in baseball. I hope everybody will come see the River Bandits. Enjoy a doubleheader. We have a great giveaway tonight as well.
Yeah, a lunchbox.
Metal lunchbox,
yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And for kids who are going back to school, and then Red, White, and Boom, the best fireworks show of the year tonight at Modern Woodman Park.
Okay, and remember that this team, this organization, is not only about the fun, it's about connection. So I also love the fact that on Sunday, we can bring school supplies,
yes.
right? And then those will be passed out to kids around the Quad Cities who may not have enough stuff for a school.
You bring the school supplies and you get in free.
Is that how it works?
That's how it works.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Oh. Right? It's our way of saying, we want you to support the kids.
Well, and I'm grateful that you're doing that, but we're running out of home dates. You'll then have a series against the Sky Carp from Beloit.
That's last week of August.
One of those names.
and unless we make the playoffs, that's it.
Right. And so you'll want to get out there. Just one last little aside on team names.
Yes.
I'm so grateful that we have the River Bandits
yes.
and its connection to the history
yes.
and the story of Colonel Davenport, all that kind of stuff.
Yes. I love that we are the only sports team in America, the only sports team in the world that names itself not after the founder of our community, but after the people who killed the founder of our community.
I didn't even think
right? That we name, that here in the Quad Cities, we name our team after the ones who murdered the founder of our town.
Look, river towns are a little edgier.
That's right. You know, I love it.
But I will say that back, I was a reporter at one point, there was a shift, I think, in ownership or something like that, and they wanted to get a localized name, no longer be the Angels or the Cubs.
It was 1990.
Or And is that what it was?
1990.
Wow. And so I remember the Quad City Times did a poll, and there were a lot of things that didn't make it. But yeah. I just had a personal favorite for the Davenport sofas. I thought that would have been just genius, but nobody calls it a Davenport anymore. I mean, my grandmother was always, it was the Davenport, right? So, but I'm glad we're the River Bandits.
Yeah.
And I should just tell you, friends, Dave is wearing his red, white, and boom, wonderful River Bandits logo. I opted for my favorite is Los Bandidos del Rio.
That's right.
Which was a great promotion you guys did not that long ago.
Thank you.
I love all my merch. Now, we're going to run out of time, Dave. And so if you... want to find out more, you can go to MLB.com, Quad Cities, or just search River Bandits.
Here, RiverBandits.com.
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 Right? And if you want tickets and you want to buy them online, go to RiverBandits.com. Yes. Yeah. There are so many scam places out there.
Right. Yeah.
And they will, if you just Google River Bandits, they will pop up because they pay for that positioning.
Yeah.
You have to go to RiverBandits.com.
And that's what we want you to do and get out to the park while we can. Before we run out of time.
We are in first place. Come see us. We have a great team. We've got some great future stars. Kendry Churio, David Shields, Blake Mitchell, Zion Rose, the new first-round draft pick of the Royals, Ramon Ramirez. These five guys, they are going to be stars in Kansas City.
Yeah.
Come see them play today at Modern Woodman Park.
We're going to run out of time, but you know, I got to say, for me, the magic is with baseball is that on any given night, the guy who may not be a Hall of Famer with the River Bandits can be the hero.
Yes.
And that's one of the things about the storytelling aspect of baseball that I love so much. But speaking of stories, any book recommendations that you want to share before we wrap things up here today? What are you reading that's interesting?
I'm reading right now, I'm reading two books. I'm reading a book called The Aviator and the Showman, which is a biography of Amelia Earhart and her... boyfriend, later husband, George Putnam from the Putnam Books, and how he really puffed up her career. It's a great read. And I am reading a book called A Dream Deferred, which is a biography of the late Reverend Jesse Jackson.
Well, so it happens that on Weekend Edition this morning, they had a little snippet about when Amelia Earhart first landed in London, not on a solo flight.
Right.
She was wearing a men's aviation suit.
Yeah, she was a passenger.
Warm. Right. And so, but immediately the London boutiques wanted to outfit her in something that was custom made for her. It was a great story. It was a great story. And
she wouldn't have any of it. She was really the quintessential tomboy.
Well, but they did find a nice flight suit that was a little more flattering and not so baggy. So they got something like that. Anyway, thank you for that recommendation. Also, the biography of Jesse Jackson, just one of the... greatest highlights of my life is he came to Augustana several times during his career because we're just down I-80 from him. The first time he came was 1968. So it was, we've had long sojourn with that wonderful American leader. Hey, guess what, though? That's going to have to do it for now, Dave. I'm so sorry. But thank you for being my guest, Dave Heller.
It's my pleasure. I hope I'll see everybody at the ballpark tonight and for Red, White, and Boom, and tomorrow for our Sunday afternoon game at 1 o'clock. If you bring a school supply set, we'll get you in for free. It's a lot of fun.
It is. It's always fun at the old ballpark. Thank you very much. And remember, friends, you can catch the conversation twice each week nowadays on WVIK, Saturday mornings, of course, and then right after Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, there's a rebroadcast Monday evenings at 8. And that's right after Fresh Air. So find us on the recent episodes, at WVIK.org by finding us on the podcast tab. We hope you'll stick around now as we get a little bit of fun with Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. And from the campus of Augustana College, this is Kai Swanson inviting you to join us next week for the conversation on WVIK. Our guest is going to be Brett Hitchcock from Circa 21, another great Quad Cities institution. So until then, friends, thanks for tuning in. The news is next from NPR. This is your public radio station, WVIK.
You've been listening to The Conversation on WVIK. If you missed part of it or just want to hear it again, tune in at 8 o'clock on Monday evening. Right here on WVIK. WVIK operations are partially supported by a grant from the Illinois Arts Council.
And support for WVIK comes from the Regional Development Authority, distributing funds from the Rhythm City Casino Resort to help make the Quad Cities a more vibrant and inclusive community. Learn more at rdauthority.org. Broadcasting from the campus of Augustana College at 90.3 FM and HD, WVIK Rock Island, and 95.9 FM K240DZ Dubuque, online at wvik.org or with the WVIK app. WVIK, Quad Cities, NPR.